Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience and is a Money Matters Crown Ministries budgeting coach. That's right, Money Matters no longer aired here at the intersection of faith and reason during the week, but you can hear Tom Meglia, our host today, who is a Money Matters Crown Ministry budgeting coach. He's the Money Matters go-to guy for Southern California, and he would love to hear from you. You can call 800-386-3700. You can visit theeconomyofgod.com online. You can get past shows, podcasts, download, all that fancy stuff right there at theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up for our free quarterly newsletter, and it's time to jump back into this series on godly contentment.
Hi, Reba.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good, thanks. Tell us 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 by heart. Our flagship two verses, 16 and 17, from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll start out the program again, as we always do. So what is it by heart?
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for training, for teaching, for correcting, and rebuking in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Excellent. I love it. All scripture is God-breathed. You know, I read an article in the LA Times last week that said, only about a third of all the United States Christians really believe the Bible's true.
Gosh. A third?
Yeah.
Well, if you're part of that third, you're in a good place.
Right. And the other two-thirds thought some of it was true.
Oh.
But not necessarily all of it. But 2 Timothy says all Scripture is God-breathed.
Mm-hmm.
Not a part of it, Reba,
mm-hmm.
or a section of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about this survey they did, and some people who claim to be Christians think some of the Bible's right and true, but I don't know exactly which parts, they would say, and some isn't, but they didn't believe all of it was
true. It's funny because people believe all of the LA Times is true.
I know.
But they don't.
I know.
But they don't believe the Bible's true.
I know.
Or like Josephus, the ancient historian,
right,
during which most of the New Testament was written. People believe he's correct, 100%
right.
Correct. So why not believe that the Word of God is also correct?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You know, when we write our book, Knowing the Economy of God, and do our radio program based on the Bible and God's economy, I never have asked before in all the times we've done this program to the listeners, do you really believe the Bible is completely true, infallible, and error-free? You don't have to call us up and tell us your answer or email us. Just think about it in your mind, okay? Because if you think it's not, then why does 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 say all scripture is God-breathed and is useful?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it say that?
Right.
So you kind of need to grapple with that and grasp on to that thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you really think that it is true or partly true or sometimes true or maybe all of it, none of it? What parts? Old Testament, New.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, Tom, it isn't for today. It's a fairy tale. You need to think about all of this. Okay, this is God's thinking, not Reba's, Tom's, any financial advisor.
And this is the first thing that you need to really anchor down in your life.
Exactly. Because everything we say on this program, Reba, is on the assumption and the belief and the conviction that the Bible is true.
That's right. That's what I love about your four anchors, which are God is the creator of everything.
Mm.
His word, everything.
Yep.
He is the creator. We're only stewards of what he has done.
Right.
And I think people who don't believe that the Bible is true, they want to be the creator of their own truth.
Exactly.
And they don't want to steward anybody else's truth.
Right. And the people that doubt the Bible, they always say, well, I think, well, guess what? We're not paid to think. Okay. We're not paid to think. We're paid to obey.
Yeah.
We are to obey God. Okay, I'm being funny, but
no, it's true, and you know, and that's what
we are to obey God.
That's the problem that that Satan had right from the beginning.
That's right.
He had a submission problem. He wanted to be God.
Exactly.
He wanted to be the maker of his own truth in
right.
his life. He thought he should be worshipped. That is what he thought the truth was in his life. And you can't go around making up your own truth.
That's right, Reba. Well put. I'm so glad. I wish you would say that all day long. Never stop saying it. I can never hear that enough.
Uh-huh, it's true.
God tells us to be broken and contrite and obey him and to surrender in humility to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not walk around saying, well, I don't think, you know, the whale swallowed Jonah. That's a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go ahead and investigate it for yourself. That's what I did, Reba, 28 years ago when I became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of kid that always says, why? Why does that work that way? Why does it taste that way? I have this testing attitude. Well, all of that helped me research the Bible, and I found out that it's completely true. That attitude, the hunger, mm-hmm. the search for God. I do have that attitude, the hunger, the desire for God, the thirst.
Mm-hmm.
And I tested the Bible through and through. It's true. And our book, Knowing the Economy of God, where you can get that off the website, www.theeconomyofgod.com. All 66 books of the Bible is what our book is based on. So, Reba, we're on the concept or the anchor of contentment, anchor mm-hmm. for contentment. Today is program 9 of a 12-part series on contentment. Would you read us, please, the two major passages that all of these 12 shows are based on, 1 Timothy 6 and then Philippians 4. So let's get the scripture out there, okay?
Okay, so 1 Timothy 6:6-10. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we have brought nothing into the world and can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then Philippians 4:11-13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
Amen. Well put. And you know, Reba, today's concept that we're talking about, when Paul says, I've learned the secret, we're going to find out what that secret is. And a secret is something that you don't know or didn't know, and then you learned it.
Mm-hmm.
Something someone else knows, and then you find out what it is.
Mm.
Well, Paul's saying the secret of contentment, Reba, is Jesus Christ. He learned the secret in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, Reba, today's lesson is this, and I'm going to need your help on this to communicate this.
Okay.
You communicate better than I do, so help me with how articulating this, okay? All right, Reba, why would someone need to learn contentment, well-fed, living in plenty? I can see how they might have to learn contentment, you know, in a situation where they're hungry, poor, don't have what they want.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Living in want, Paul says. But Reba, why would someone need to learn the secret of contentment, well-fed, if they're well-fed,
uh-huh.
or living in plenty?
I tell you, it's two things that we were born with. Human nature and eyeballs.
Oh.
our human nature.
Eyeballs?
And our eyeballs. Our human nature is really to want and to hunger. And when we put that, like you said earlier, if we put that into a godly thirst and hunger, then we will actually get closer to God and become better people. But because of these eyeballs we have, we're always seeing things, and we get our heart and our eyes off God.
Right.
And we start, instead of using that want and that hunger towards the things of God, towards God, we start to use that for the things we see around us. New and improved, better, a sale, a this, a that. And we really start to just get out of control with it.
Well put. And more of all those things our eyes see. Not content with just one of them, more of them.
More, oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you can only drive one car at a time. You can only sleep in one bed at a time,
right.
And live in one home at a time.
Right.
But so many people I talk to in the financial planning and budgeting uh-huh. ministry and work I do over 28 years want more of them and better of them.
And the thing is, and this is what people need to realize, God wants to bless you with a Solomon type of kingdom. God wants to pour more and more and more and more and more into your life, but He wants to do that because you love Him and are focused on Him, not because you love the things and are focused on the things.
Right, and that's why the first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3, says, no false gods, no other gods. I am the Lord your God.
That's right. So we are in part number 9 of a 12-part session on godly contentment. We've got, gosh, just so much to cover on in this show talking about this. Stay with us. We've got some. We've got a really juicy story coming up. We've got a lot more. We'd love for you to visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com. You can also check in on the telephone, 800-386-3700. Call Tom. He would love to hear from you, theeconomyofgod.com. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God. We'd love to hear from you at theeconomyofgod.com or take this number down, 800-386-3700. We're going to jump right back into this because we've got so much to cover. We're talking about godly contentment, and we just covered why do we get away from godly contentment.
Exactly, Reba. And when Paul said in Philippians 4:11 through 13, I've learned the secret of contentment, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. We're talking about why does it take the secret of contentment to live in plenty? You've got the house, you've got the money, the health, the spouse, you've got this and that and a position in life and a title. Well, why would he need to learn contentment in that? Because he knew that those things by themselves would tempt him towards taking his eyes and his soul and his heart and his spirit off of Jesus Christ. And he was not going to allow that to happen. He was not so in love with the good things of life that it was going to move him off the position where he made a god out of those things or a false idol out of those things. No way. That's why he had to learn contentment. See, when he was well-fed and living in plenty, like most people would say, well, those things are great. Got to have them. I hope I never lose them. That's where I'm shifting my heart towards. Mm-hmm. And God said in Exodus 20, verse 3, no other gods, no false gods. I am the Lord your God. There shall be no other gods before me. And Paul maturely did not allow that to happen. See, that's the point we all need to get to, Reba. Mm-hmm. The maturity in Christ. Mm-hmm. Paul was one of the most mature people ever spoken of in history.
Wow.
And he was a mature Christian in the Bible, Reba. Mm-hmm. Now, he started out terrible, mm-hmm. but he finished well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Went from killer to missionary.
Yeah, to
okay?
martyr.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So living in plenty. For those of you out there living in plenty, you got it all. You got the girl. You got the job. You mm-hmm. got the money.
Mm-hmm.
You got the title. You got the health.
Mm-hmm.
You got it all. No. You got to remember, don't let those things tempt you away from your position in Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
Paul said in verse 13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Even when you're rich and well-to-do, you've got to be careful because Satan wants to move you off of that position where you're solid in Christ to solid in your job, fancy job title, lots of bucks, you know, beautiful cars, stocks, real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be very, very careful. And see, Paul arrived. He learned to be a mature Christian. So, Reba, that's what he's talking about.
Wow.
That's why you have to learn contentment.
Yeah.
Even in plenty.
Even in plenty. You know, when you're talking about that, it makes me think about, I think it was freshman year in college. Most people learn that you have a hierarchy of needs, the hierarchy of needs
right.
table. It's like a triangle.
Maslow's
hierarchy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like food, clothing, shelter. And it's funny because people that don't have anything are focused on their needs because
right.
what his theory is that you can't focus on the next thing on the pyramid
right.
until you first have, like, you're not going to focus on anything until you have your clothes.
Right.
Then you're going to focus on food.
Right.
Then you're going to focus on, shelter.
Right.
Well, when you have plenty, you have all that stuff met.
Right.
So you're, so then what do you focus on?
The next thing above.
And so then it gets into these, all these luxury
right.
items.
Right.
and you have plenty of time to focus on them because you've got your other needs met, and then it just gets out of control.
Good point, Reba. And that's the world's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The world's thinking is totally opposite of God's
mm-hmm.
thinking. Now, here's a question for you, Reba. Tell the audience this one. Ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got a question for you. Why is it that many wealthy – oh, let me try again, Reba. I'm stumbling again, okay? I'm just not – I'm so excited about this, and just tell me to be quiet. Okay. Why is it that many wealthy people I know are discontent and unhappy and consistently unsettled, and other much less well-to-do people, poorer people, are free and happy and more alive in spirit and life and in application to everyday normal life? They're content. The poor people I know, many of them, so content. And so many rich people I know so discontent.
You know,
how can that be?
We were just talking about this. We were
Why?
Talking about I've traveled to a couple of third world countries.
Mm.
And I was saying, someone said, oh, it must be very heartbreaking. And I said, you know, it's bittersweet. Because what you see, what I see when I went to El Salvador, what I saw was I saw people who, cars, homes, jobs were optional. Families. People weren't.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, we have it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
We cars, homes, jobs are not optional.
Right.
Family is optional.
That's right.
And I was like, wow, you know, so when I see these people, I'm like, gosh, you know, they're in need and they need a lot, but they've got it so right.
Right.
And I see a lot of times when you have nothing, it's like being polarized. I have nothing. I've got to find a happy moment.
Right.
It's not going to be given to me. I have to find it. And then, and the other side of that polarity is I have everything. I should be way happy. So I'm going to find something to be unhappy about.
I know. And see, Reba, in my 28 years of a financial advisor, many of the rich people I know, that even that are Christian, they've gotten off the position. They've allowed the devil to move them to the fact that their money is their idol and that they just got to have it. And they think about it all day long. And, you know, that takes the place of everything. And it occupies the room in their mind
mm-hmm.
and shoves out the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's where people need to realize, you know, you've got to be content. But so many rich people are discontent. And the poorer people need to take heart in that they can be content and win the prize. And they've arrived because mm-hmm. they found the true prize, not the money, net worth, Jesus. And that's where they're putting everything. All of their person and their heart
mm-hmm.
is in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why poor people are happy and content. Now, should they stay poor? Well, it depends. I mean, they've got to live the way God has allowed them to live and do their best and work. And we've done many shows about work and budgeting and all, you know, what you have to do. So contentment, Reba, I believe, means in God's economy the ability to freely love self and others, because one looks to Jesus Christ for their deepest fulfillment, like some of those people you mentioned in the third world countries, and where they have their longings met, a longing. Okay, a longing. Their needs and their longings. Longings like, I want to be accepted. I want to be loved and cared for and have security. You have it if you know that the Lord loves you, made you, created you, and that you're special in His eyes. Only there can you find it. So then you're free to love because your peace and contentment needs are met from the Lord. See, and that's the definition. That's how it works. Yes, I'm happy. Sorry, Reba. I'm on my excited mood. I had licorice before we started this show.
It's not the licorice in the break room.
Yeah, that one.
That's just like chewing rope. That stuff's so hard.
By the way, it was really stale.
I know it was. I ate a bunch of it yesterday.
Okay, now in application, in creating a practical financial plan, our financial goals do shape how our financial plan is made and the implementation of it. But without contentment, our plan will be thwarted and frustrated, okay? So even if the goals are met, the plan is flawed because of the behavior of the financial goals being worldly, not godly. So that's why we're never going to be satisfied if we don't learn contentment. Contentment is the greatest thing in the Bible. Have I learned it? Yep, but it's something I still am a work in progress in because the enemy wants to move us off our position. It's a major thing you have to learn. So it's really a heavy-duty thing of maturity in Christ. It's not easy. And sometimes we fall back and we got to relearn these things. Circumstances are tough out there.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes we fall back. Constantly. We constantly have to get back on that horse because the world is just going the exact opposite direction.
Well, especially America, Reba.
That's why, I'm going to be honest with you, that's why it's important to have someone like Tom in your life and a part of your finances, because he's going to constantly remind you to keep your eye on God, even as your finances grow. And I think that's what you're talking about, because you're talking about having, how do you stay content when you have plenty, when it grows and you see it becoming more and more? How do you stay content and focused on God?
Exactly. And that is an interesting thought, because why would Paul say, I have to learn contentment, even well-fed and living in plenty?
I never thought about that
before. What's the contentment? Where does contentment?
Yeah, why do you have to have contentment if everything's great?
What's there to be, you know, why do I have to learn contentment?
Wow.
Because the enemy's going to try to move us away. Lord, thank you for this day. Jesus, we love you, praise you. Help us, Lord, to learn this concept. All Christians, Lord, including me and Reba, bless us. Help us to learn this concept, Lord, that You are the secret, Jesus, of contentment, whether well-fed or living in want. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer of change, that's where it all begins. Now what you've got to do is get some godly counsel concerning your finances. You've got to plan for retirement, investing in special situations, your children's education, tax liability, how to reduce that. There's so many financial goals out there. You want a godly man involved. And that's Tom Maglia, our Money Matters go-to guy for Southern California. Call 800-386-3700. First appointment is at no charge. It's absolutely free. Call Tom. Discuss your personal financial plan. Visit us, theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you next week.
To Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Maglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Maglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.